People ask me sometimes, Brother Jack, why do you speak so much against anger and sexually dirty thoughts and sexual sins in secret? I said, because in the entire Sermon on the Mount, there are only two places where Jesus said you can go to hell. Only two sins. There are many other sins listed in Sermon on the Mount. Telling lies, divorcing, hating your neighbor, that's a sin. Giving money to let other people see it. Praying in public to impress others, that's a sin. Or fasting and letting everybody know about it. Loving money, being anxious, judging others. So many things. Matthew 5, 6 and 7. But out of all these sins, he picks out two. And said, they will send you to hell. If you pray and let other people know about it, you won't go to hell. It's a sin. If you fast and advertise your fasting, it's a sin, but you won't go to hell. If you don't love your enemy, it's a sin, but you won't go to hell. If you're anxious, that's a sin, but you won't go to hell. If you love money, that's a sin, but it may not take you to hell. But when it came to anger and dirty thoughts and lusting with your eyes and sinning with your hand, he said, that'll take you to hell. You read Matthew 5 and 6 and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. The word hell comes only in these three places. Sin with your tongue, sin with your eyes, sin with your hands. Secretly. The other people don't know. We use the same eyes to read the Bible, to read songs, to sing it. We use the same tongue to speak words of God, words to God of praise, and use the same tongue to get angry with people. We use the right hand to hold the Bible and then hold the right hand to commit sexual sin. I believe the words of Jesus. And I'll tell you something. You don't need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to overcome these sins. There are lots of people who claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues who commit all these sins. Believe me. There are Pentecostals, charismatics who get angry like anything, who commit sexual sin with their eyes, pornography and their hands and everything. Their speaking in tongues has not solved that problem for them. I'll tell you the example of a man who was not even born again, who did not know anything about Jesus Christ, who did not have a Bible, who was not filled with the Holy Spirit, and who resisted at least adultery. Joseph. Young 20-year-old man, far away from his parents, in a house where somebody was tempting him every day, and he ran away. And I believe in those days, if there was pornography and there was a computer in front of him, Joseph would have run away from that too. What is it that made him run away? Not fullness of the Spirit. He feared God. You know, when that woman tempted him, what he said, you read in Genesis 39, how can I sin against God? Read that verse. All of us must remember it. Genesis chapter 39. When the woman came to Joseph with great desire, verse 7, looked at him with desire, Genesis 39, 7, and said, lie with me. A woman coming to a young, muscular man. Some of you are 20 years old, far away from your parents, just like Joseph. What would you do if you're all alone in a house and a very attractive woman says, come on, come on, nobody's here. And you're supposed to be a CFC believer. What do you do? It says he refused. Verse 8. He says in verse 9, how can I do, the last part, verse 9, how can I do this great evil and sin against God who is here? How do you say nobody's here? He tells Potiphar, how do you say nobody's here? God is right here. Your husband is not here, my parents are not here, but God is right here. How can I sin against God? And it says, verse 10, day after day after day, she went after him. Come on, come on, come on. Every day he would say, no, God is here. God is here. God is here. She thought he was crazy. Which man would keep refusing a woman like that? I'll tell you, not one who speaks in tongues, but one who fears God. Speaking in tongues is not the beginning of wisdom. I speak in tongues. I'm not against it. I've spoken in tongues for 41 years and I thank God for it. But that is not the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. When the Holy Spirit came and filled me, He not only gave me the gift of tongues, He gave me a fear of God. A spirit, Isaiah 11, He's called the spirit of the fear of the Lord. You know Him as the spirit of the fear of the Lord? It says in Isaiah 11 and verse 2, the spirit of the fear of the Lord rested upon Jesus. And I say, that's the spirit I want to rest upon me. And that's the real Holy Spirit. The spirit of the Lord is called in verse Isaiah 11, 2, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. That means a spirit that makes me reverence God in the moment when I'm tempted to get angry, in the moment when I'm tempted to commit some secret sin. How can I do this when God is here? God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. When Jesus comes again and we stand at His judgment seat, we read in 1 Corinthians in chapter 4, what is it that God is going to judge? Not what you did in public, but what you did in private. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Don't pass judgment on others. When the Lord comes, He will bring to light the things hidden in darkness and the motives of people's hearts. So when the Lord comes at the judgment seat, He's going to reveal all the things I did in darkness and all the things inside my heart. And we say, Lord, what about all the outward things? There's no need for them. No need. I will just judge whatever this person did when nobody was watching him. I'll just judge the way he spoke to his wife when nobody else was in the house, or the way she spoke to her husband when nobody else was there. I will judge what he thought in his heart when he was lying alone in his bed, when nobody knew what was going on, when he was sitting alone in his house. That's all I'm going to judge, because I've written in my word, God says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. That's enough.